Okay, this is take two. It's 17:25 hours, Eastern Daylight Time, July 19th, 2023. I'm Ward Green. Problem with the microphone rubbing on my hat meant that, or my jacket meant that I had to redo everything now. Carl Jung said, "Your vision will become clear only when you can look into your own heart. Who looks outside dreams. Who looks inside awakes." I think you could say wakens would be a more common way to put that in English. Lao Tzu said, "Who knows doesn't say, who speaks doesn't know." The Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu. And Mark Twain said, "The human race has only one really effective weapon, and that is laughter." A song for today is from 1983. It was a huge hit and financially very successful in the sense that the movie that it was produced for or used in, anyway, I'm not sure which was the case now. Sometimes songs are written for movies specifically, and sometimes they're added to a movie. There we go. Let's see here. Okay. Let me check. Right. Yeah, it was for the movie, written for the movie, I believe. Yep. Okay. And the singer, Irene Cara, who performs the vocal track in this song, also co-wrote the lyrics. This is from 1983, but on the chart, before we start playing it, it was number one on 16 charts around the world. Very impressive, big hit. It's a long video take here, on the or video clip here from the movie. So it's got not just the song in it, but a little bit more than that. So here we have a clip from the movie Flashdance, What a Feeling. The name of the song is called, What a Feeling. So, but it's officially, I believe, Flashdance, .. What a Feeling, the name of this song. Sung by Irene Cara. That was from 1983. A song called Flashdance, What a Feeling. My late wife and I, Anne, went to that movie when it came out, and we really enjoyed it. It was a good movie, as well as apparently a great song, judging by the charts. But, I mean, the song is what really made the movie, I think. It really did convey that message about pursuing your dream in life, you know, to do what you want to do in life and pursue your passion in life. That's really the message. And the freedom to do that is so important. I mean, it's okay. It's not a good thing to be told that we know you're going to love something. We need freedom to choose what we love. All of us, we need freedom. We can't be told that somebody else knows that we are going to love something. If something is good, it should stand on its own merit. In the Blessed Genealogy, we have seen before, this is Born and Raised, chapter 2, paragraph 6. In the Blessed Genealogy, we have seen before how true dates appear to permit one to add more facts. This can permit a severe backlog of facts to flood us. While I have not arrived in haste at the ideas related so far, it is wise to be modest and to proceed slowly. With the account of the Apostle Paul from the Bible, we have a strong indication that 13 years or more elapsed after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ before Paul made his second visit to Jerusalem. And the witness of Luke in Acts chapter 12 is that Herod Agrippa I died at the same time as the visit which Paul made with Barnabas. While we don't trust civic history more than the Bible book of Acts, the death of Herod Agrippa I is given as 44 CE according to such available historical evidence. There was also a famine prophesied by Agabus that from Acts 11 and 28 occurred in the time of Emperor Claudius, at the time of this relief ministry of Barnabas and Paul. Claudius Caesar ruled from January 24th, 41 CE until 54 CE. Christian historian Orosius wrote that a most serious famine took place throughout Syria in the fourth year of Claudius, a year that exactly corresponds to 44 CE. From this, the crucifixion looks like it was in 30 CE. Of course, the evidence we presented already, combined with this, is what makes it look like it was in 30 CE. But Orosius has more to say, stating that the governor of Palestine, Pontius Pilate, made a report to Emperor Tiberius, and Tiberius to the Roman Senate about the passion, this is in quotes, about the passion and resurrection of Christ, end quote. The belief in the divinity of Christ by both men being motivation enough for Tiberius to propose to the Senate that, quote, Christ beheld a god, unquote. Powerful words. Orosius gets a strong bracing from Tertullian, who was an early Christian, who states that Pilate was in conscience a Christian. So the evidence, and we'll see if there's more evidence coming up in the next paragraph about the dating of the time of the crucifixion being 30, the year 30 of the Common Era. And also the idea that we saw here about 44 CE, we should mention that this is the time of, that this is the time of both the famine and Paul's visit, has already been argued and discussed earlier in this article already, as we mentioned already too. But we keep coming back to it because it's an important point for helping establish the year of the crucifixion even more strongly, although we don't need it for that purpose. It's still very good evidence. So today's proverb, little children, Proverbs 20 and 6, a multitude of men will proclaim each one his own loving kindness, but a faithful man who could find. wise words are those not? This is an amazing thing, the book of Proverbs. Truly an amazing book. Now, Numbers 19. And Jehovah proceeded to speak to Moses and Aaron, saying, "This is the statute of the law that Jehovah has commanded, saying, speak to the sons of Israel that they should take for you a sound red cow in which there is no defect and upon which no yoke has come. And you must give it to Eleazar the priest, and he must lead it forth outside the camp, and it must be slaughtered before him. Then Eleazar the priest must take some of its blood with his finger and spatter some of its blood straight toward the front of the tent of meeting 7 times. And the cow must be burned under his eyes. Its skin and its flesh and its blood, together with its dung, will be burned. And the priest must take cedar wood and hyssop and caucus scarlet material and throw it into the midst of the burning of the cow. And the priest must wash his garments and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. But the priest must be unclean until the evening. And the one who burned it will wash his garments in water and must bathe his flesh in water, and he must be unclean until the evening. And a clean man must gather up the ashes of the cow and deposit them outside the camp in a clean place. And they must serve the assembly of the sons of Israel as something to be kept for the water for cleansing. It is a sin offering, and the one gathering the ashes of the cow must wash his garments and be unclean until the evening. And it must serve the sons of Israel and the alien resident who is residing as an alien in their midst as a statute to time indefinite. Anyone touching the corpse of any human soul must also be unclean 7 days. Such one should purify himself with it on the 3rd day, and on the 7th day he will be clean. But if he will not purify himself on the 3rd day, then on the 7th day he will not be clean. Everyone touching a corpse, the soul of whatever man may die, and who will not purify himself has defiled Jehovah's tabernacle, and that soul must be cut off from Israel. Because the water for cleansing has not been sprinkled upon him, he continues unclean. His uncleanness is still upon him. This is the law in case a man should die in a tent. Everyone coming into the tent and everyone who is in the tent will be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel upon which there is no lid tied down is unclean, and everyone who on the open field may touch someone slain with the sword, or a corpse, or a bone of a man, or a burial place, will be unclean 7 days, and they must take for the unclean one some of the dust of the burning of the sin offering, and put running water upon it in a vessel. Then a clean man must take hyssop and dip it into the water and spatter it upon the tent, and all the vessels, and the souls that happen to be there, and upon the one who touched the bone, or the slain one, or the corpse, or the burial place. And the clean person must spatter it upon the unclean one on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, and must purify him from sin on the 7th day. And he must wash his garments and bathe in water, and he must be clean in the evening. But the man who may be unclean and who will not purify himself, well, that soul must be cut off from the midst of the congregation, because it is Jehovah's sanctuary that he has defiled. The water for cleansing was not sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. And it must serve as a statute to time indefinite for them, that the one spattering the water for cleansing should wash his garments. Also the one touching the water for cleansing, he will be unclean until the evening. And anything the unclean one will touch, or may touch, will be unclean. And the soul who touches it will be unclean until the evening. Anyone touching any unclean thing is unclean. That's the end of Numbers chapter 19. From the law of Moses and from the Torah, as the Jews call it also, and Acts 28. And when we had made it to safety, then we learned that the island was called Malta. So the shipwreck that arrived at the island, which alighted on the shoals and which was broken up, and the men aboard from which made it to shore, this island was called Malta. And the foreign-speaking people showed us extraordinary human kindness, for they kindled the fire and received all of us helpfully because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul collected a certain bundle of sticks and laid it upon the fire, a viper came out due to the heat and fastened itself on his hand. When the foreign-speaking people caught sight of the venomous creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, "Surely this man is a murderer." And although he made it to safety from the sea, vindictive justice did not permit him to keep on living. However, he shook the venomous creature off into the fire and suffered no harm, but they were expecting he was going to swell up with inflammation or suddenly drop dead. After they waited for a long while and beheld nothing hurtful happened to him, they changed their mind and began saying he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place, the principal man of the island named Publius had lands, and he received us hospitably and entertained us benevolently 3 days. But it happened that the father of Publius was lying down, distressed with fever and dysentery, and Paul went in to him and prayed, laid his hands upon him, and healed him. After this occurred, the rest of the people on the island who had sicknesses also began to come to him and be cured. And they also honored us with many gifts, and when we were setting sail, they loaded us with things for our needs. 3 months later, we set sail in a boat from Alexandria that had wintered in the island, and with the figurehead, quote, "Sons of Zeus," end quote. And putting into port at Syracuse, we remained 3 days, from which place we went around and arrived at Rhegium, and a day later, a south wind sprang up, and we made it into Puteoli on the second day. Here we found brothers and were entreated to remain with them 7 days, and in this way we came toward Rome. And from there the brothers, when they heard the news about us, came to meet us as far as the marketplace of Appius and 3 taverns, and upon catching sight of them, Paul thanked God and took courage. When finally we entered into Rome, Paul was permitted to stay by himself with the soldier guarding him. However, 3 days later he called together those who were the principal men of the Jews. When they had assembled, he proceeded to say to them, "Men, brothers, although I had done nothing contrary to the people or the customs of our forefathers, I was delivered over as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. And these, after making an examination, were desirous of releasing me, as there was no cause for death in me. But when the Jews kept speaking against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, but not as though I had anything of which to accuse my nation. Really, on this account, I entreated to see and speak to you, for because of the hope of Israel, this chain I have around me." They said to him, "Neither have we received letters concerning you from Judea, nor has any one of the brothers that has arrived reported or spoken anything wicked about you. But we think it proper to hear from you what your thoughts are. For truly, as regards this sect, it is known to us that everywhere it is spoken against." They now arranged for a day with him, and they came in greater numbers to him in his lodging place. And he explained the matter to them, Paul, that is, by bearing thorough witness concerning the kingdom of God, and by using persuasion with them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some began to believe the things said. Others would not believe. And so, because they were at disagreement with one another, he began to depart. While Paul made this one comment, "The Holy Spirit aptly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your forefathers, saying, 'Go to this people and say, by hearing you will hear, but by no means understand, and looking you will look, but by no means see. For the heart of this people has grown unreceptive, and with their ears they have heard without response, and they have shut their eyes, that they should never see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn back, and I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this, the means by which God saves, has been sent out to the nations. They will certainly listen to it.' So he remained for an entire 2 years in his own hired house, and he would kindly receive all those who came into him, preaching the kingdom of God to them and teaching them the things concerning the Lord Jesus with the greatest freeness of speech without hindrance." At the end of the book of Acts, as well as the end of Acts chapter 28, we are finished the book of Acts, little children. So that's another thing accomplished. We've read, have we read all of the gospel accounts? most of them. Maybe we haven't read chapter 1 of Luke yet. I'm trying to think what else we haven't read. I think we've read all the Gospels other than that. And the book of Acts now we've read. So that's a great accomplishment for us, and especially for those who've never read the Bible. Very big accomplishment. Now, you note here that Paul says the good news, or the means by which God saves, which is the good news about Jesus, had been sent out to the nations, and that Paul believes they would certainly listen to the good news. So he wasn't concerned that the Jews in Rome didn't particularly believe it. And when they disagreed with each other, they all departed, instead of the believing ones staying with Paul. But we know that the good news was sent out to the nations already before this time of Acts 28. And many had received the good news and had believed. And there were many congregations already present in Asia Minor and various other places, you know, in Corinth, in Greece, all sorts of places around the world, in which, well, around the world of the Mediterranean, certainly was the world that they were preaching in. So I have a few things to say. I've started recording in the studio again. So and the digital sampler that I have is Ivory 2, which is grand pianos. It's got a lot of beautiful piano sounds. So I've got Bösendorfer pianos, and I have all sorts of different Steinway pianos, and the Yamaha C, is it the C1? I forget what the Yamaha piano, the Grand is called. But the Yamaha Grand, all these different grand pianos, I've got them in digital form, so I can play them using my digital controller, the Yamaha ES8, which is a sampler. But I'm just using the MIDI function of the sampler, and I could program my own samples into the ES8 from any instrument. I can make a sample and then play it on the keyboard with all of its different, you know, frequencies. So it can take a single trumpet note. You wouldn't normally do that, but using one note, you could produce the whole keyboard full of trumpet sounds. Normally, you'd program a lower note and only use it for certain notes, and then the higher notes, you'd program a higher sounding note on the trumpet so it sounds truer to life. Or if you're doing any instrument, you'd play some higher pitch notes and sample those with the purpose of programming them into the higher keys on the piano. So that you don't get a greatly inappropriate sound in certain parts of the register because of only sampling at once. So only sampling a note from a different part of the register, which is not the correct sound. So for a note played on a certain string, it's better to sample that certain string, for example, on a stringed instrument. But you can't duplicate stringed instruments, nor you can duplicate brass much more easily on a sampler. But, you know, a trombone is a great one. I think a great example of one you can sample quite effectively on a sampler. Or I've got built-in samples already of trumpets and trombones in the sampler, too. It was sold with those samples in it. So, my problem is I can record the keyboards using the MIDI, and I don't get any loss of sound quality because the MIDI triggers the sounds that are already built in, stored on the computer, so I don't have any problem with recording them digitally without any loss. It's perfect. But I mean, if I set it up perfectly and the sounds are the ones I want and they're adjusted perfectly the way I want, then it's perfect. But the voice track, for that I found out, I finally connected a microphone for the purpose of recording voice, and I've never done that with with the digital medium before. I've done analog recording before, so I need to learn how good this quality is going to be with the preamps I have now, and then maybe get a new preamp if I need one. I've got a preamp that I built myself, which I haven't used or tried yet, but it's hard to tell what the quality is yet because I haven't listened to the dry signal. I've been listening to the reverb with the signal, and I'm not. But when I did listen to a drier signal, it didn't sound like the quality was quite as good as I would hope for. So, I mean, I'm listening to it with reverb because it sounds better, but when I started out, I was hearing it dry, and I don't think it sounded as good as the microphone quality that I should be getting with that microphone. But it's a condenser microphone with a very high quality for a studio. But I mean, it's a five pattern mic. You know, it's a Beyer mic, the NC740, I think it is. Yeah, if I'm not sure, or MC740 or NC740. Whichever one it is, yeah. Whichever is the correct letter, yeah. But I think it was a $1,500 microphone, but so it was an inexpensive version of a, you know, much more expensive studio microphone. But it was extremely good quality for the price, like very comparable to some of the best, and very, I mean, it didn't have characteristic sound like one of these other microphones might have a characteristic frequency spectrum. This mic has a fairly neutral spectrum, so that it doesn't have any bias in it, which is a good thing probably too. But anyway, I need to work on recording now. I'm in the studio. The other problem I want to talk about, there's a problem. I had a problem getting around to doing the recording in the studio because it was, you know, it's not easy to get started. I had to go through a lot of trial and error to get it working so I could record voice and keyboard. And now that I've done that, maybe I can proceed more rapidly with the rest of it. But that was very difficult. So, because I'd never done digital recording before. The other problem I'm facing is I've got a large sum of money, which I'm waiting to be put back into my bank account, because there was a large application for which I made with my advisor for with my writer for an annuity for a large sum of money, and we attempted to make a contract, but I decided against it in the end that I don't want the contract with that particular contract is what I had a desire to not have, you know, or to that particular contract was what I didn't like. It wasn't the company so much as the contract. So we thought we could just get the money back, or we didn't have to worry about the money, we thought, but the institution, the large bank, took the money out of my account without my wanting them to, and we're waiting for them to put it back. I had failed to notify them, or notify my bank rather, which I should have done, and put a hold on the money. And that's what I should have done, because we want to get the annuity now from another company with a contract that I actually feel a lot better about. So it's the contract I didn't like, and that's why I couldn't sign it. I signed it once, and that's why they were able to take the money out of the bank, but we were unable to. We decided to withdraw the application because there were some errors in the first signing, and so when I wanted to fix those errors, I got to see the contract more and more, and the more I saw the contract, the more I realized I didn't want the contract. So we don't want that contract, and we want our money back in the bank, please. And so we're waiting for that so that we can hopefully get an annuity with a different company with a contract that I like. Mainly it's my contract that I have to sign it, so it's got to be something I like. And we found one that I like. We're just waiting for the money to come back. So that's a big worry, because it's not a small amount of money that we're waiting for here. Even though they're saying they're going to put it back, it's, you know, we expect it to come back. I mean, it's still very, very unsettling to have a large sum of money taken out of your account. And I learned something, which is you should always put a hold on your money if you don't want it to be leaving your account unexpectedly. I guess that's the lesson, but even that might not have helped because you have to take the hold off the money at some point. You never know when the money could be taken out by the institution in error, you know. So that's all for the study for today. I love you all very much. It's a wonderful time for all of us. I hope you enjoyed the study. It's July 19th, 2023. Oh, yeah, I'm still waiting for my root canal appointment. I'm still in trouble physically. I'm not healthy. I feel a little better today, though. But 1758 hours Eastern Daylight Time, July 19th, 2023. I'm going to try maybe some more vitamin C also to see if I can get rid of it. But I need to see the endodontist about this root canal. And that takes a week before they can get around to processing the application. So this is it. It's Star on my behalf and Cammie saying bye for now.